Welcome to the Manitoba Ag Days podcast, where we hear from some of the most relevant, up-to-date, informational speakers in our industry. In episode 28, Peter Manis, farm management consultant, MNP LLP, tells his story. Buying with confidence, executing your equipment plan.
Thank you for having me, the opportunity to speak to you this afternoon. Today, usually in September, we get together as our M&P team and talk about the things that we're going to talk about at Ag Days. And I said, man, we got to talk about equipment. And so we put together this three-sentence idea about what we're going to talk about. And then between then and now to kind of summarize that all into about 15 minutes of usable information. So obviously, as we can see here in the show that we're at, there's a lot to see. There's a lot of equipment here. It's a big part of agriculture. And so really just trying to narrow that down, give you some ideas that may work for your farm operation. So I'm part of the farm consulting team that Stephanie mentioned. There's a group of about 8 of us in Manitoba that specialize in this area, and we do primarily under the heading of planning, working with farmers, just trying to help them implement their business plan and understand their business better. So, I had to make a few changes to my presentation last night. I met with a client, and he said, someone introduced me, and they said that, Peter, you're going to tell us how to buy new equipment. He's like, I know Peter. Peter never tells me to buy new equipment. So I had to change my slide around. So I wanted to start with, as we talk about, we want to be prepared to buy. That sounds awesome, right? We're at Ag Days. There's lots of new things here. We want to be prepared to buy. But the question is, what? What are we going to be prepared to buy? And so I did looked for some information. And one of the things that I found was this trend looking at, as we're all very well aware, the steady rise in farm equipment costs. Now, this is a slide that's out of the U.S., and obviously a big factor in buying equipment in Canada is the exchange rate, but I think that overall the trends are the same. So obviously we're going to have our trends are going to go much more like this, kind of up and down as exchange plays into it, but overall the trend is still going to be up. And so as you can see here is these top two lines, or top three are really combines and large four-wheel drive tractors that we've really, from 2003, we've seen this increase of about 5% per year of the cost of new equipment. And I'm telling you things that you certainly all are more than well aware of, and the sticker shock that comes along with that. Where this trend is going to go, I don't think is anyone's guess. I think we can continue to expect that those things are going to continue to increase. So since 2003, we've seen really about a 5% increase in cost of new equipment every year. So the questions that we often get associated with this is, what is the cheapest equipment to own or to operate, and should I buy or lease? And I want to talk about both of those things a little bit. The buy or lease question, I'm going to wait till the end to answer, and then really talk about kind of this idea of what's the cheapest thing to own. And so I did some very in-depth analysis in terms of what the cheapest equipment is to own. And I like to talk about the big five, which is two tractors, an air drill, a sprayer, and a combine or combines. And so if we think about this for a 3,000 to 4,000 acre farm, the very in-depth analysis that I did looking at the cheapest option for the big five is this. A very nice line of early 90s equipment, complete with a 475 horsepower tractor, a tractor for the grain cart. Who was at the canola? This is just by chance. Who was at the 80 bushel canola guy yesterday? And what was the air seeder that he was using? A Flexicoil 5000. That's totally by accident. And two very nice looking 9610s. With a total cost of $235,000 for all of those, which should be more than adequate to meet your needs from a cost standpoint on a 3,000 to 4,000 acre farm. I also did some very in-depth analysis on the most expensive options for the big five. And I tried not to, I tried not to pick on any one brand individually, but the most expensive options, shockingly enough, are new equipment. And if you total these things up completely, this is completely by chance, is that it is 10 times the price of what our early 90s models or late 80s models give us. So, the question though is, so what? And does it really matter? So, obviously the cost of buying machines has more to do with than just what the overall value of the equipment is. So what are some of the other decisions that go into whether or not you're going to upgrade your equipment? So what are some things that you guys, that come into play? You want me, what's that? Easy use? Yeah, what else? Reliability? Service? Yep, good answers. So things that we talked about, time, whether it's going to save you some time, whether it's reliable, your repair costs, your manpower, whether it's going to give you productivity improvements, how it's going to work if you're looking at increasing your land base. These are all things that come into whether or not you're that buying decision-making process. When we look at M&P, we look at equipment costs, we kind of group them as part of a overall category of labor, power, and machinery. And it's really the cost of getting the job done. So within that also is costs like custom work, fuel, repairs, whether you're renting or leasing, and labor. Those are all kind of all categories that are part of that cost of getting the job done. And if we look at, shockingly enough, that as we're seeing the cost of equipment rise, if we look on a per acre basis for grain farms, is we've seen this cost also continue to increase over that time period as well. And we've gone back in 2011 from $119 an acre, is that trend is up over $140, and I would expect for 2017 and 18, at some point we're going to eclipse $150 an acre. But average is not a goal, it is only our guide. And so within that is that we see the range in those numbers, and this is just for grain farms growing predominantly wheat, canola, soybeans, a range between $75 and $200 an acre. The problem with this, and this is really, I think, the challenge in trying to figure this out from an advisory standpoint, is that there's no guarantee that the producer that has $75 an acre is making the most money. Or the flip side of that is that the producer that's spending $200 an acre is making the least money. And so really, it's trying to understand how that all works together. Is that it only matters relative to the job you're doing and how well you're doing it. So the targets that you have for your farm, we talk about profit targets, and that only is in relation to your time and money. So the target that you have in terms of how you'd like to spend your time, what you'd like to spend your time doing, and then overall the profitability of your business is really what has to drive your equipment strategy decision. And so you may find that if you look within these numbers is that you'll find producers that are equally profitable at $75 an acre labor, power, machinery costs as well as $200 an acre. So starting then to think about what the right questions are and how we can establish that. So first of all, are you hitting your profit target? And if you're hitting your profit target, then really it's just a function of having the right equipment and strategy in place to do the things that you need to do. How does your labor, power, machinery contribute to that? So is it helping you to achieve the profit target? Are you offside in those expenses that's biting into the profit that you're expecting? And then thinking about what the alternative strategy is for your labor, power, machinery. And thinking about that in relation to time, is it going to save you time? Is it going to cost you more time? You're going to have to change what you're doing, the money that you're outlaying, and then the risk that's associated with it. So, getting ready to buy. talked about at the beginning. The first part really is making a budget. And so thinking about what those expenses are. And the challenge with making this, starting with the budget, is the equipment purchases are lumpy. So we talk about those big five, is that whether you're on, depending on the strategy you're on, ideally if you're on a five-year replacement plan of your big five, is that you would buy one every year, and then it would be able to smooth out your equipment expenses. But equipment expenses overall are pretty lumpy. So think about, I guess, first of all, is what the fair market value of your equipment is. And I use a number of 15%, which is very similar to on your financial statement, your amortization expense. And start to think about that, if that's able to achieve what you want it to achieve. We use a total equipment investment between $350 and $400 an acre for most dryland grain farms. And I would include in that the value of your leased equipment. So if you take the overall value of your equipment multiplied by the acres that you're farming, is that should be in that $350 to $400 an acre range. A key part of this is really drafting a multi-year plan. And thinking about a 3 to 5 year capital plan, a top 10 priority list. I had a client of mine, I won't say it's my idea, a client of mine that had gone through and they had projected hours out on all of their equipment as it related to their replacement plan. So when you think about how your equipment's going to slot into your plan, is how is it going to relate to other equipment? The two answers that, probably the most common answer that I get from producers when I ask them what's on the budget for this year, they say, well, nothing, everything's good. And then when I see them the next time in the summer, and I asked them what they bought, they said, well, there's a tractor, new tractor deal that we couldn't pass up, so we had to buy it. I said, well, how do we go from everything's good and for a couple years to I had to replace a tractor? And part of that is thinking about this multi-year plan. It's not taboo to say that you need to upgrade your equipment, that you need to reinvest in your business. And part of that multi-year plan is thinking about the cost of the upgrade. Because we saw that, obviously, as the new equipment is increasing in cost, is that then the expectation of what you're going to replace back to what you have is obviously going to be over a five-year period. If we're seeing a 5% increase in new equipment, then your cost is going to be 25% higher than when you bought it 5 years ago. I think that a key part of being ready to buy is really measuring your success and understanding what it is that's driving your decision-making process and being able to evaluate it. So one of those is really looking at your repair cost by unit. So we often talk about repair costs as being a driver for upgrading equipment. But the majority of producers don't track repair costs by implement type. By implement type or by specific implement. So how can you compare your repair costs if you run, as an example, you run two combines, or if you have multiple tractors and you're trying to compare which to keep and what not to, how can you compare that if you don't track it? And how can you compare your repairs on your existing units to your previous units if you don't track it? And obviously that means that you get to spend more time doing the best part of farming, which is bookkeeping, right? That's everyone's favorite. But if you're not tracking that information, then how can you make an informed decision? Downtime by unit. A significant concern, risk associated with running, generally with running older equipment. But do we know what it is? Do we keep track of what it is? Or is it like the decision in my household to buy a four-wheel drive is based on, I remember getting stuck in a snowstorm 3 years ago and I really needed a four-wheel drive vehicle, so I'm going to buy it. So if we're not keeping track of these things, then how can we make an informed decision about whether it's going to work or not going to work? And then also then your efficiency claims and the savings that are associated with that. A big part of a lot of the technology that's out there is new equipment, is it's going to improve, there's going to be savings. Fuel savings is a good example, or even seed savings with seeders. How do we know and can we make informed decisions if we're not measuring what the outcome is, whether it's actually doing what it's supposed to be doing? I'm sure that most of you know Professor Don Flayton. I remember him putting together a presentation, and he took all of the claims associated with the inputs in a canola crop and put them together and laid them out, and everyone was expected to get 150 bushel canola crop based on the expectations that all the expectations that every one of the claims that were made for those inputs. And equipment is no different than that. If we don't measure it, then how are we actually ultimately going to understand whether it's making us more money or not? Thinking about alternatives, obviously custom work, short-term rental, and then thinking about whether you should be buying sooner than kind of your standard plan and running it longer, are all parts to your plan. Really, a key step then is reviewing your plan against your profit target. Is you've got to adjust your plan based on your past and future performance. I think one of the challenges, to be honest, right now, as we do budgets for farms, is that things have been relatively easy. You know, we're going to complain that the price of wheat is too low, the same way we always complain the price of wheat is too low, but we're going to do budgets for 2018, and they're going to look pretty good. Equipment costs are going to be higher, but overall profitability is again there, and we're going to kind of kick that can down the road another year. So, are we prepared to take a really close look at those profit targets and our past performance, and then be able to adjust the plan as we go? A key part also is reviewing seasonally. So instead of waiting all the way until we get into December to think about how your seeding worked and what equipment worked and didn't work, is have review your plan seasonally. So in summer, go back and think about what you did in seeding and how your seeding worked and how your equipment worked and what needs to be changed. And ultimately, it's important that you do your plan in pencil, because there's going to be changes. There's going to be, as you go throughout the year, there's going to be priorities or change. If you've got a top 10 list, then there's always going to be things that are going to move up and down on that based on need. So it's important that you're prepared for those changes. So some tips involved. One of the things that I like to do with producers is think about your equity and your debt in one pool, not on a piece-by-piece basis. So one thing or one idea is to think about is the possibility of a revolving equipment loan that you can use kind of as a budgeting tool as well. So pool all of your equipment equity together, and then as you pay it down, then that capital will be available to be readvanced. So there's pros and cons to that. It works really well until your equipment dealer comes out with a 0.9% financing that you just can't pass up, so you'll just sneak that in there and the payment won't be too much. But we do that 3 or 4 times and it kind of defeats the purpose of the revolving loan. But I think from a management perspective that it works really well. And so instead of thinking about your equity though as, well, I've got 2 more payments on this piece of equipment and then I own it, is think about it as a pool. What's the overall equity that you've got in your equipment? What's the overall cost and debt, and how are you managing that altogether? Develop a unique buying strategy for each piece of equipment. So don't get yourself locked into this idea that we have to buy it when it's 5 years old and run it for 7 years, and that we're going to do that for all of our equipment and it's all going to be the same. Just think about a unique strategy. A lease may work for you on your tractors, but it might not work in your combines or vice versa. So think about really open to what's going to work with the individual piece. And then as you budget for those things, as I mentioned before, is think about a 3-5% increase in cost payments per year and thinking about how that's going to roll out from a replacement standpoint. So if you're going to run a piece of equipment for 5 or 10 years, then you're going to expect a 25% or 50% increase in what the cost is going to be when you go to replace that. Clients always ask me what the right what's the right payments that they should have on an equipment basis. And unfortunately, the answer is always it depends. And a big reason that is because it depends on what else you're buying, what else your strategy is. If you're looking to actively expand your land base, and that includes the purchase of additional farmland, then that's going to play into the overall debt service of your farm operation. I know there's an old adage that we often say is that you've got to own something. So either you've got to own your equipment, and rent your land, or you got to own your land and rent your equipment, is that it's difficult to make the cash flow work if you're making significant investment costs on both sides of your business. And don't count on custom work. If you do a lot of custom farming and that's part of your overall strategy, then that's great and that's a different situation. But if you're going to buy a piece of equipment and say, well, I'm going to buy a bigger combine because I'm sure that there'll be custom work that I can do, is you probably shouldn't count on that to make the payments for you. So as I mentioned at the beginning, as we talk about here at the end, is this lease versus buy, which to me, we often get asked as the first question. The producers call us, hey, how are you doing? I'm going to buy a piece of equipment. I don't know if I should lease or buy it. And the question that I always want to know is how does this fit into your overall plan? Is that from a, in general terms, and I'm not a tax specialist, one of our tax specialists, Matt, talked 2 or 3 years ago about this, and I'm certainly not a tax specialist, but the lease versus buy discussion on equipment especially, because the depreciation rates are pretty high for non-motorized and motorized equipment, is that it really is a decision that's driven by your overall plan. So what's your cash flow, interest rates, debt load, asset use period? Those are all things that go into whether or not it's a good idea to whether you should lease or buy it. And when we think about terms on a 5 or more years, is that the implications are minimal tax-wise one way or the other, whether you're leasing or buying equipment. And the other important thing that I tell producers when they're thinking about this is that if you're looking at a purchase, even a 7-year purchase versus a 5-year lease with a significant buyout, is that you're looking at two completely different amortization schedules for that piece of equipment. I'm not saying that one is right or wrong, but I looked at a equipment lease for a producer, and he essentially was set up as a 12-year loan on the piece of equipment. So if he's comparing a 12-year loan to a 7-year loan, what do you think the payments, do you think the payment terms are going to be significantly different on those? Yeah, significantly different, because we're not comparing apples to apples. So that doesn't mean that he shouldn't take the lease. But it just means that he's got to understand that the financing terms are significantly different between those two. And at the end of the day, the lease might make more sense because of all these reasons up here. But again, you've got to be comparing apples to apples when you're looking at whether you're leasing or buying. So in conclusion, really kind of coming back to those major points is the key. Obviously, I do planning for a living, so I think that it's important. But the key is you've got to make a plan. You've got to have a plan and a budget and something to shoot for. Really key to have a multi-year plan. Well, things I didn't talk about before is part of that is just in discussion with the partners in your business, specifically your lender, is being able to talk about things that might be on your plan 3 years from now. It becomes a much easier discussion if you do, in fact, have the deal, the once-in-a-lifetime deal to purchase equipment, that you're talking about something that's already on the plan, even if it's 3 years from now, as opposed to something that looks like it's just coming completely out of the blue. Really measuring your success. Keep track to the best of your, I shouldn't say the best of your ability, is if we want to make informed decisions about repair costs and the actual cost of ownership, then we've got to be able to track those things individually. Thinking about alternatives, not being locked into the plan that you're in and how it works. And ultimately, the review function, thinking about it against your profitability and thinking about seasonally how it's going to work and ultimately revise that as you go. So with that, if there's I'm willing. From select few. If I know you, you can't ask a question. I'm just kidding. Any questions, concerns, disagreements? I like disagreements.
Peter, could you just repeat the question?
Yes, the question was, where do I... The numbers that I used? I used Tractor House to get those equipment valuations. So Are you asking like from a fair market value standpoint? Like if you're a stop or just... I guess the question was where I get the values from a fair market value standpoint. I guess it depends on how detailed you want to be and what your plan is for it, right? So there's a lot of easy places to get it. Ritchie Brothers, if you're looking for auction values, Ritchie Brothers is a pretty easy place. They give me access to be able to get the information. I haven't bought anything from them, so you can get it through there. Tractor House, any of the equipment dealers would be able to have it. If you're just looking for, I always tell producers is go through the list and just give me what your gut feeling and what you think it's worth. And for the most part, from a management standpoint, is that's going to be pretty good idea. Because the majority of producers have a reasonable idea of what your equipment's worth and what the value is.
Is there any other questions? There's one right here in front.
Where? Oh, sorry.
Hi. You had talked about
revolving equipment. Yes. Yeah, so... The question is... You're kind of bossy back there.
What?
So you're kind of bossy back there.
I am, very much so.
The question was on a revolving equipment loan, what I use for amortization. I guess I would be more interested in how the payment matches to what your budget is. So if you're using it as a budgeting tool, so if we go through the math and say, well, we need to replace $150,000 a year in equipment, then obviously you've got to set it up in a way that you're for sure making that amount of payment if your expectation is that you're going to re-advance it, right? And it also will depend on whether all of your equipment is lumped in there or not. I've got some producers that they keep their combine separate as an example just because of the way the financing terms are. But I would say at minimum it's got to match what your purchase expectations are. Because historically equipment's been bought on 5-year terms, but really, even if you're buying, your equipment is still going to have value after 5 years, right? So you are going to be building equity over time if you're on a 5-year term. And as I said, I would go back to, my banker friends in here are going to get a little bit nervous, so I have to be careful. So I would get, I guess... To me, if you look at like a 7-year amortization on equipment, is that it becomes a little bit closer in terms of matching what your pay down is to actual depreciation of the equipment asset. The challenge is that revolving loans are, from an equipment standpoint, from a security standpoint, is completely different than what we've done before, right? Is because we're talking about a pool of assets as opposed to a specific asset, so it becomes the terms on it and just making it all work from a financing perspective can be a bit of a challenge, but I hope that long answer was... Yes. Yes, absolutely.
I think that we're going to have to wrap the questions up for now. I would invite Peter just to stay at the top outside the doors. So if you have a specific question, you can meet him there or at the MNP booth, perhaps.
Yep.
Peter, thank you very much on behalf of Manitoba Ag Days for spending some time with us here today.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Manitoba Ag Days podcast. We'll see you next year from January 22nd to 24th, 2019.